Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, returning to our top story, deposed Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro arrived at a New York court today after being captured and taken to the US over the weekend to face narco-terrorism charges. Meanwhile, the UN Security Council is holding an emergency meeting on Venezuela today as China and Russia questions the legality of America's actions. Joining me now is Carla Sands, former US ambassador to Denmark and chair of the Foreign Policy Initiative at the America First Policy Institute. You're very welcome, Carla.
Hey, thanks, Katie. It's great to talk to you today.
So can I just get your reaction to what was done here, what Donald Trump did with Maduro this over the last couple of days?
Sure. Well, you'll recall that that he's been indicted as a narco-terrorist and drug trafficker, that he was the head of the cartel of the Sons. And so President Trump and President Biden both put a bounty on his head. President Biden finally was a $50 million bounty because he's a criminal. He didn't win the election in 2024. He only got 30% of the vote, but he literally took control illegally of the whole country. And he's been running it into the ground, including their resources ever since then. I mean, it started under Chavez, but it certainly has continued illegally. He is a criminal. So this was basically a law enforcement operation with President Trump removing an unelected criminal narco-terrorist.
Who was the leader of another country. There was no UN resolution for this move. Congress were not forewarned about what was happening. It has been widely condemned as completely against international law.
Well, you talk about the UN. I mean, the UN is basically controlled by the Chinese Communist Party and other dictators and bad actors from around the world. And so we don't really care what the UN says.
Well, the US has a veto at the UN Security Council.
Any kind of discussion about this operation before it happened would have been very negative for the United States and for our military, a brave military who did the most unbelievable precision extraction in the history of the world. It really shows the incredible capabilities of the American military. And I'm so proud of them and what they did under the command of our, you know, Commander-in-Chief, President Donald Trump, and then his Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. What they did over the weekend in Venezuela is nothing short of breathtaking.
There's been a lot of speculation that they had some inside help with this operation.
I saw that, and I saw that our head of the CIA, John Ratcliffe, was in the room. So it could be that some of Maduro's closest allies maybe were compromised, but it doesn't surprise me. It is so corrupt there. Remember, this is formerly one of the richest countries in the hemisphere, now the poorest country in the hemisphere. One quarter of their citizens actually fled because they were starving to death and they had no opportunity. These socialists have run one of the greatest countries in the world into the ground. They were literally as rich as the United States at one time. But socialism, as we know, leads to incompetencies and leads to oppression of the people. Only the elites succeed when you have socialism.
Can I ask you, Carla, if you believe that what has happened here makes America safer? Because this, speaking in Mar-a-Lago, President Trump has said, we're going to run Venezuela until such time as we can do a safe, proper and judicious transition. How does this make America safer?
You know, I trust President Trump's judgment on this. And I believe he's looking at our hemisphere. There was a doctrine in the U.S. started by President Monroe called the Monroe Doctrine that says that the continent of South America and North America really should be under the leadership of the United States. And what happened under weak presidents on both sides of the aisle is they allowed Iran to begin to corrupt and Hezbollah to help run Venezuela. So you had Iran, you have Hezbollah having headquarters there in Venezuela, spreading that poison throughout South America and the Caribbean. And then you also have Russia and China using that country as a military platform in order to cause terrible things to happen in South America and potentially in North America as well.
And how far do you believe Donald Trump will be prepared to go to stand by this Monroe principle? Will there be boots on the ground in these countries?
Well, I saw his press conference and he said he's not taking anything off the table. And he has a tremendous force there in the Caribbean right now, standing in the Caribbean. So I think that it depends on how the current leadership in Venezuela behaves. And I think it also depends on what happens in the region. And he's already warned other heads of countries that have also become corrupt, I will say narco-terrorist states, that, you know, they could be next. And when he was asked about Cuba, he said, no, they're such a failed state. He's not going to bother to go in and do a regime change. And we can see the corruption and the devastation that comes to citizens that live in socialist countries, Cuba being a perfect example. The corruption of socialism and communism is so devastating, and that's why we're so rich in the West. It's because of the free market capitalism that our ancestors, our forefathers, set up in our Judeo-Christian government and structure. And so we're so blessed to live in capitalist free market societies. And I think that President Trump is looking at that and saying, we're going to make sure that this poison doesn't spread throughout the rest of South America and the Caribbean.
OK, well, let's talk about another free market society that President Trump has been talking about in recent days, saying on Air Force One, and this is a country you'll be very familiar with, Carla, him saying now we need Greenland from the standpoint of national security. I see Denmark's Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen saying today that she thinks Donald Trump should be taken seriously when he says he wants Greenland. Do you think she's right?
Well, Mette Frederiksen is a very good leader. She's done a very good job in Denmark for her citizens. There's no question. They couldn't have a better prime minister right now. And she's been in office now for quite a few years. I know that Denmark is very upset because they like having Greenland part of their kingdom. But the fact is they can't afford to defend it and they can't afford to develop it. So it's not, you know, it's not defendable. It's not developable by this small country. And it's like owning an asset you can't afford. Like if you have a house and you can't afford to take care of it and keep it up and pay for everything, then you have to sell it. And so President Trump has and his team haven't even started the discussions of what is going to happen to Greenland as this progresses.
So are you suggesting that President Trump might want to buy it rather than simply take it?
Well, I'm not suggesting what he'll do because I don't know. But I know that President Trump is a deal maker. He's probably the best deal maker our country has ever had as a leader. He's an incredible negotiator. You can see he's ended so many wars and gotten to ceasefires around the world. He is the president of peace, but he wants to make sure that the United States and our allies and even the world are secure. And if Greenland fell into the wrong hands, we wouldn't even be able to get across the Atlantic to come to the defense of our allies.
Yeah, but Carla, I don't need to remind you that Denmark is a member of NATO.
Yeah, Denmark is a member of NATO. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Well, you spoke about Denmark not being in a position to defend Greenland. But
right, they can't afford to defend Greenland.
But NATO, it's a member of NATO, so surely it can call on its allies in NATO if should anyone wish to interfere with Greenland.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but Greenland is semi-autonomous and they have the right to make their own trade deals. They have a lot of autonomy. Denmark doesn't control Greenland. And the Greenlandic leaders just a few weeks ago stated publicly, look, if you U.S. doesn't do the right investment in Greenland, we're just going to go to China and let them do it. They said to me openly, money has no color. We don't care who invests. We just want the money. And so they're going to go independent. They've stated it publicly over and over again. The majority of the Greenlanders want to be independent of Denmark. We will not let, I am not speaking for the administration, I'm saying the American people will not let Greenland fall into enemy hands.
But have the Greenlanders ever expressed a preference for falling into US hands?
Well, there's a lot of ways to make a relationship. One is a COFA, like a free association agreement. And something like a COFA doesn't require a country like Greenland to even be part of the United States. It's just kind of an agreement of business and protection, and they would be able to make all their own laws and be in complete control of their country. So I think there's a lot of ways to make it work. And I think there hasn't even been the first conversation between the president and the people of Greenland to see what could be, what's possible. I mean, if there's anyone that can get a good deal and get the region into a safer situation, it's President Trump.
Okay, we leave it there. Carla Sands, former US ambassador to Greenland, many thanks.